FM News Talk 97.1 On Demand Audio.
Mark, welcome into the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Mark.
Yeah, it's good to have a conversation with you the other night, trying to bring this attention to the public, because people bring the public's attention to this issue, I guess I should say. Before we get started with what it is you'd like to do, tell folks your personal situation. What brought you, you know, kicking and screaming into this fight?
Yeah, I always give the analogy, it's like when you buy a new car. Before you bought the car, you'd never notice that car on the road. And the week after you buy the car, every intersection, you see people driving the same car that you're driving.
Yeah.
And in this situation, I was like you. I had never even known that there was a problem until I went through a custody situation. And I don't like to divulge all the information about that, because it's really not about myself and my son's mother. It's more about the fact that there's a challenge going on nationwide. But I went through a situation where I found myself being relegated to a visitor with my son every other weekend, basically, and started doing research and studying how kids growing up without one of their parents end up with, you know, unbelievable rates of, you know, as far as violent crime, incarceration rates, high school dropout rates, suicide rates. And 70 to 94% of all of those have been shown statistically to be tied to growing up primarily without a father. That could be either one. And so I started diving in and teamed up with a great group of people here in Missouri, a real good buddy of mine, Jeremy Roberts, and Linda Reutzel, and Kenneth Goins, that were already working on getting legislation passed in Missouri for what we call a 50-50 rebuttable presumption.
So explain what happens now if a man and a woman who are undergoing a divorce walk into court for a custody battle. What is the presumption immediately at this point?
Yeah, nationwide, around 80% of the cases, one of the parents is going to become a visitor to that child every other weekend and Wednesday night. And unfortunately, as I said, that when you take a child who the day before the divorce had equal access to both parents and then relegate one of those parents to being an inferior parent every other weekend, psychologically it creates so much problems for the child. So we're working. Oh, go ahead.
What brought us to this point? What is it in the legal system that just defaults to that breakdown?
Well, look, a couple of challenges. One is some federal funding issues, which would take almost a whole show to go through. But there's some Phyllis Schlafly had pointed out about 20 years ago that there's a funding mechanism in Title 4D of the Social Security Act where states are financially being rewarded for the system. And the attorneys, unfortunately, even though I know there are a lot of good attorneys out there, but you have to realize attorneys make their money basically by racking up billable hours. So if attorneys can keep a adversarial relationship where there's a winner-take-all, that's what perpetuates the problem. And our attitude is, if parents knew going in they had a probability they were probably going to get 50-50 anyway, they'd probably rather put that money in a college fund instead of spending it on attorney fees.
Right. Well, you know, I come at this from the perspective of someone who has never been through it, and pray that, but you know, I don't go through it. Nobody else has to go through it. But it's an emotional time, right? So sometimes allegations are made and things get ugly. I understand that. What this would do, though, would say that when we go into a custody fight, there may be other considerations, because there tend to be allegations by one side against the other side. A judge has to figure that out. But what you're asking for, and maybe you can tell us the kind of success you've had around the country, is to have the court say, listen, we're gonna start from the perspective that this is a 50-50 custody split until you show me evidence that it should be otherwise, right?
Exactly. We're just looking for a due process where, instead of the default being in every other weekend, that the child should start out presumed to have an equal relationship with both parents. Now, it's a rebuttable presumption, meaning the judges will still have discretion, because, you know, obviously if a parent is abusive or neglectful, we don't want to put a child in that situation. But until you go to court, you don't know those facts. So, you know, from a due process standpoint, before you walk into the courtroom and know any facts at all, the presumption should be that child should have equal access to both of their parents.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. So what kind of luck have you had around the country?
Missouri is actually looking very good this year. Last year we passed in the House 137-7. And unfortunately, as everyone's aware with the Greitens situation last year, there was not a lot of movement in the Senate last year.
True.
So this year we've got a lot of high hopes. Nationwide, there's only one state that has passed a bill. Kentucky passed a bill last year, which had some great verbiage addressing the rebuttable presumption. They did allow an amendment added onto that bill, which it gave quite a bit of a loophole, though, for what we call silver bullet or false allegations, where all someone has to do is file a restraining order, and that throws the 50-50 rebuttable presumption out the window. And, unfortunately, there's a lot of unscrupulous people and attorneys that just will use that silver bullet. It's rampant in family law right now.
Well, I'm sure. So you told me that you have basically people in, 24 different states working on this right now?
This year, I'm in total this year, there's going to be about 30 states that are addressing this issue.
Okay.
And I've teamed up with a lot of great people. It's not me by myself or even Americans for Equal Shared Parenting. There's about 800 groups around the country of different sizes addressing this issue. And a lot of us are starting to lock arms and trying to work together this year to try and really make some movement. But this year, I'm personally involved in about 24 different states. Matter of fact, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee today. I'm doing a tour of 25 cities around the country, capitals, where I'm doing shared parenting events. I did one last night in Nashville. I've got one tomorrow in Atlanta, Georgia.
Is there active opposition to what you're trying to do?
The only two big opposition groups we have is the Bar Association, who obviously they're working to protect their members. The way they make their money is by billable hours. And as I said, if they can keep that adversarial relationship going, that's going to rack up billable hours. So the Bar Association is highly opposed. And then some of the domestic violence groups are opposed. And as I said, we don't in any way ever want to put a child in danger. But our attitude is, if a parent is fit to be a parent every other weekend, why are they not fit to be a parent 50-50? If they're a true danger to that child, then they shouldn't be giving the every other weekend. So our attitude is, then we should start with a 50-50 presumption.
Yeah.
But those are our only two opposition groups.
Yeah, interesting. And I'm sure, and I don't have an attorney on to really defend themselves here. I mean, they're probably going to push back on the fact that, they're just doing it for business.
Yeah, but if you talk to most attorneys, they understand. And there are some great attorneys out there. So I don't like to stereotype and say all attorneys are unethical. But most attorneys are aware of what's going on, that you're pretty much going to have a winner-take-all where one parent's going to get every other weekend when you walk into most courtrooms across the country.
Mark, I've got the phones are ringing here. Can we take a couple phone calls?
Sure.
Yeah, let me do that here. Let me lock you in and... I'm going to take this on the other channel here, okay? Good, because I'm smart like that.
I know. Listen. You can do this.
All right, good. Nice here job. We go. Kirby, you're on the radio with Mark and Mark Ludwig. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Hey, listen, we talk about this custody battle for the children and everything. I believe it all started when the government got involved and ruled that there could be a no-fault divorce law if one party's not happy, and the key word here is happy, if one party's not happy, they can divorce the other party without showing any cause. Once that happens, then that's when the custody battle over the kids start, because the money gets involved and da 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 da. So if there's no reason, if there's no viable reason to get a divorce, if there's no viable reason to get a divorce except that I'm not happy in this relationship, then the whole custody thing starts.
Interesting. Any thoughts on that, Mark?
I agree. That is when, the early 70s is when things really started taking off, and that's when a lot of these no-fault divorce laws, came into effect. So, yeah, I agree. That is one thing that exacerbated the problem.
Because then, I mean, I guess I would think if you walk into a no-fault case, why wouldn't the judge default to the fact that there should be equal custody unless there's some other factor like allegations of abuse or something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's like I said, that is when, you know, divorces started just becoming rampant across the country, and then it became a, let's see who can get the upper hand in the divorce case. And the easiest way to do that was to start fighting for the kids.
Wow. So I know you don't want to get too far into your situation here. I don't want to ask too many personal details, but have you been able to secure the custody level you wanted?
No, right now I get eight overnights a month with my son, which compared to a lot of parents across the country, I'm fortunate, but for my son's sake, you know, my son misses out on those benefits of having his dad help him with his homework, having his dad pack his breakfast in the morning. Some of those routine things, it becomes like they call it the Disneyland dad, where the child only gets those weekend experiences with the parent.
Yeah.
And as much as I enjoy those, I want my son to understand that there's routine in life also, and to get those normal bonding experiences of me putting him to bed early on a school night. And those are things that my son misses out on.
Yeah. Well, I understand. Where can people go to find out more information? Because I know that there are probably a lot of people in this situation who agree with you and are interested in finding out more about what you're trying to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of great groups across the country. The group that I work with is called Americans for Equal Shared Parenting. We've got a Facebook page. We also have a website of AFESP.com. So either the Facebook page or the website would be the starting point. And then, like I said, a bunch of great groups across the country that are all working together now.
Well, it's certainly an interesting topic that a lot may not be on people's radar if they haven't gone through it. So glad to talk about it. And Mark Ludwig, we appreciate your time this morning.